This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I can't allow the resignations of the two senior people at the BBC to go under the radar, because there are two important things that I have to say about these resignations. Firstly, that I think that they're fully justified, and that ultimately somebody needs to carry the can for the damage that has been done by the BBC and the inaccuracies which have been evident in the BBC reporting over the last 2 years. My point about these resignations are, firstly, that they really come on the back of the threat from President Trump to sue the BBC for an inaccurate statement that they made about him. And the fact that the BBC have spent 2 years promoting a certain line against Israel, which included inaccurate reports and included pictures and statements which had been unverified, really fly under the radar. In other words, I just sort of wonder whether these two individuals would have resigned anyway if Trump didn't threaten them and if there wasn't this fallout from Trump. I think that they're really resigning because of the Trump threat. And it so happens that, by the by, you know, sort of as a sideshow, they've really done some injustices and really brought the BBC into disrepute as a result of their reporting on Israel. So even though I'm very supportive of their resignations and I feel that they're fully justified, I also feel that what's happened in the BBC with regard to its position on Israel, unfortunately, hasn't been properly aired and hasn't properly been properly justified in these resignations, even though there are numerous reports that have come out, even internal investigations in the BBC, that have confirmed that the BBC really has been completely biased in the way that it's reported news about Israel. But the other thing that I just wanted to say about this was the statement of the CEO of BBC News, Deborah Turner. She's one of the ones who has resigned. And she starts her resignation statement, which she wrote to her colleagues in the BBC, by saying the following: "I have never been more proud of the work that you do every day. You really are the best of the best." No, that's not true, because if that was the case, remarkable. Then she would still be in her job.
Yes, she kept saying, very proud, very proud.
So I just wonder how one can be proud of a team that has ultimately led her to be forced to resign as a result of some really, really shoddy and inaccurate and really unacceptable lines that have been taken by the BBC. The other thing that I just wanted to remind listeners about is that we still have 4 hostages in Gaza, and that we shouldn't allow the euphoria that we felt over the past few weeks and months to shield the fact that I'm still wearing my yellow bracelet because we have 4 hostages in Gaza, and we won't take that off until they all come home. And the latest that we hear from Gaza is that one of those bodies is being kept by Palestinian Islamic Jihad. One of those bodies is being kept by Hamas. And apparently 2 of those bodies are somewhere within the yellow zone, which means somewhere within the area currently under the IDF control. And we understand that Hamas knows where these bodies are, or at least has some good information as to how one might be able to start having a dig around to find them. And we understand that there was some activity going on yesterday within the yellow zone to try and dig up some information to see whether the bodies can be found. But of course, the psychological warfare game continues. And even if those bodies were in somebody's physical possession right now and could easily be handed over, I just wonder whether they would be. But nonetheless, of course, Israeli sources are following this up. There's a lot of work going on with the support of the US government. And we will not rest until those last four bodies are brought home, one of whom is a Thai national, a foreign worker who was in Israel at the time of October the 7th, and three of them are Israelis. We will not wait. We will not rest until they all come home.
Absolutely. Israel and the U.S. have agreed to deport the 200 Hamas terrorists currently trapped in a tunnel in the Yellow Zone. Where are they going to be deported to and why?
Well, the where question is a very, very good one, because even though apparently the U.S. and Israel, for reasons which are way beyond my ability to understand, they've decided that it would be the best to allow these terrorists to come out of the tunnel and then to get them to leave completely. In other words, not to be arrested by Israel, not to stay in Gaza, but to go somewhere else. The problem is nobody else is putting up their hand to say, yeah, it's okay if they come to us.
Well, why would they? I mean, who would want Hamas terrorists to be imported, 200 Hamas terrorists to be imported into their country?
I don't think that when you say it like that, that anybody would really want that at all. But when you say it in the way that there are regimes out there, I mean, Turkey amongst them, and perhaps even Qatar and maybe some others, there are some regimes out there who would want to somehow be of some assistance to Hamas. Excuse me. And so they may put their hand up and say, not that we want these 200 people because we think they're going to be a real asset in our country, but we are doing this as a favor to Hamas. But nobody is putting up their hand even to do a favor to Hamas. So at the moment, it's all fine and well for Israel and the US to agree to this. And I just wonder whether this hasn't been something of a tactic by Israel to say, oh, yeah, we'll agree to it. Look like they're agreeing and towing the line with the US, knowing full well that the significance of that decision is only becomes apparent if there's actually somebody who will be willing to take these 200 terrorists. And so far, as I say, nobody has been willing to take them. So the fact that Israel has agreed to it might make Israel look good in the eyes of the US administration, even though ultimately there's nowhere for them to go, and therefore the prospect of this particular decision being carried out is pretty slim. So I don't know why. I mean, maybe that's why Israel decided to do it, because they knew full well that it was never going to go anywhere anyway. And so let's just, you know, get some brownie points from the U.S. administration for looking like we're cooperating. But we know that there's nothing to do with it. I mean, Egypt would be, I suppose, a candidate. But what we understand is that even those prisoners who were released from Israeli prisons and who were sent in the most part to Egypt, and there were these fantastic stories circulating about how these prisoners were being kept in five-star hotels in Cairo, but they had nowhere to go. Nobody was going to help to put those people up. They weren't allowed to stay in Gaza under the agreement. The Egyptians certainly don't want them. Nobody else was keen or even willing to take them in. And so these 200, I think, also will pretty much be homeless. And at the moment, at least, they're staying in the tunnels.
Absolutely fascinating. President Trump has written to President Herzog to pardon the Prime Minister. Is this likely to be influential? I was asking listeners the question earlier, but it'll be interesting to see.
So first of all, it's very, very unusual for somebody to be pardoned when they haven't even been convicted of anything. And I think that therein lies the slight kind of irony about this whole process. I mean, a great letter that was written by President Trump talking about the current legal process, which he feels is unjustified, and asking President Herzog to pardon Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now, the law that gives the president the right to grant pardons is very unspecific and quite simple. And so what the president does is he follows practices that have been developed over the years rather than anything that is written in law. And the practice is obviously, first of all, that the person involved should have been convicted of something. And once they've been convicted of something, they should then demonstrate the fact that they have some remorse over whatever they were convicted of before the president will even consider pardoning them. And even then, the president goes through quite a convoluted legal process. And we know that President Herzog himself is a lawyer. And so he will be very, very aware and familiar and sensitive to the legal processes that are involved. So I can't see how this can work. I don't think that President Herzog would be willing to grant blanket kind of immunity to the prime minister, because potentially it will say, well, it grants him immunity for things that he hasn't even been charged with yet. There might be things in the future that come up. So I can't see how this would work. I certainly can't see how public opinion would allow this to be carried. And it's interesting that the letter yesterday came on the same day as a whole rambling social media post from the prime minister defending his wife and his son and asking the general public to be more understanding and less critical of Sara and of Yair Netanyahu, a really strange and rambling social media post defending their virtues and explaining to the public that Sara Netanyahu is the first prime minister's wife in the history of Israel who has continued to carry out her profession in her day-to-day work while also fulfilling the role of the wife of the prime minister and supporting soldiers and lone soldiers and supporting reserve soldiers and meeting with hostages who have been released. And he went through a lengthy list of great things that the prime minister's wife has done and why the general public shouldn't attack her and also his son Yair, because he feels that, you know, it's all very unjustified. So it was kind of coincidental and somewhat strange that all of that happened yesterday at the same time. And what I'd like to say about the prime minister's social media post is a few things. First of all, I think that the attacks that get carried out on people in general, including the prime minister's wife and his son on social media, are really kind of beyond normal and beyond acceptable. Beyond acceptable. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what people's 100%. Views are. It's really unacceptable that people like to hide behind the anonymity of social media and really carry out these major attacks, which I think are really unacceptable. So that's the first thing. I'm not particularly active on social media because I try to keep away from all of that. But I find that all that to be very, very unacceptable. Having said all of that, I think that the job of the prime minister, rather than to blame the public and to blame the media for attacking his wife and his son, is to ask himself whether his wife and his son might not have brought this upon themselves, might not potentially have brought upon themselves the wrath of the Israeli public because of their own behavior, and whether their behavior may be amended somewhat in order to somehow try to encourage a little bit more positive view from the general public of Israel. And right now, what I can tell you is that the negative things that these individuals, these members of the prime minister's family do, and the statements that they make on social media and the actions that they carry out and the way that they behave towards people and members of the general public is really the reason why the general public don't have a positive view on them. So I think that we need to kind of look at things from both sides. My advice to the prime minister, not that he would be worried about listening to it, but my advice to him would be to, instead of being critical of people criticizing members of his family, tell the members of his family that they need to kind of stay out of state business because that's not what they're there to do. And they need to somehow amend their behavior in order to somehow encourage the general public to view them in a more positive light. Because what they're doing right now clearly isn't working. And so you know, there needs to be something to do, to be done to change it. And of course, the Prime Minister's wife has been convicted of all kinds of things, behaviors towards members of the staff of the Prime Minister's household. And I don't have to tell listeners what Yair Netanyahu has had to say. And by the way, you know, there is another example, which is that the fact that the Prime Minister has another son and he also has a daughter. Mm. And they somehow know what to do in order to get the respect of the general public, to keep a low profile. So Yair could be advised to follow the examples that have been set for him by his brother and sister. That's, you know, my view. It's really a very, very bizarre situation with this whole lengthy post that went on yesterday.
Yeah, I'd love your thoughts. 0618951019. I'm fully behind prosecuting when necessary. This, to me, feels, it really does feel performative. If there needs to be an inquiry into October 7th and things have to be looked at properly, we need to do that. But to continue this over, it just seems to be the whole approach to Netanyahu, and I'm not a Netanyahu fan necessarily at all, but it just doesn't seem to me to be in good faith, and that's the part that makes me the most nervous. Let me have your thoughts. 0618951019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.